ערב טוב, שלום עליכם. Given that we're about to start the 9 days, we're going to do something a little bit different. And we'll talk about the topic of yearning for the Mikdash. Sometimes we feel very awkward. It's a time of mourning. 3 weeks, 9 days. Shavuot Shechalbo, Tisha B'Av itself. And we feel a little bit uncomfortable because what are we mourning? Do we really miss the Beis HaMikdash? For those of us that associate the Beis HaMikdash with being just a very unusual abattoir, a slaughterhouse, for all I know, it might engender or conjure up for us all sorts of feelings of discomfort. What does it mean to want the Beis HaMikdash back again? Let's talk about it. I think we can talk about it in a way that that'll be useful for us, for both the 9 days, which are upon us almost, and for Tisha B'Av itself. Medrash tells the following story. The Medrash, first citation here. It's a story. The truth is the Medrash talks about two different people. We're only going to address one of them. And it's on the Pasuk, Vayarach Esreach Begodav. When Yaakov came in to Yitzchak to receive the bracha, he was feigning that he was Esav. And it says, Vayarach Esreach Begodav, and he smelled the fragrance of his begodim. And Chazal say he smelled the fragrance, Al Tikra Begodav Ela Bogdav, his traitors. Now this is where you're going to see that the entrance of Yaakov into Yitzchak to receive the brachos, and the fragrance that came from his clothing, albeit that they were Esav's clothing, but Yaakov is wearing them. So therefore, the fragrance that's going to come from these begadim will be something which is akin. This is the way the Meshechach explains it in Sefer Dvarim. It'd be akin to Esav, and yet holy. A renegade, an apostate, a person who betrayed his people, but still maintains the connection to Hashem, to Klal Yisrael, and redeems himself in an act of incredible self-sacrifice. Let's see. Tavarach v'yarach esreach v'godav v'yavarcheu kon Yosef Mashisa. An individual named Yosef Mashisa. The Yaakov Mishtoros. Yaakov Mishtoros, and we're not going to talk about Yaakov now. Yaakim. Yosef Mashisa. B'shar shebikshu sonim likoneis lahar habayis. Omru yikoneis mehem ubahem tchila. When the Goyim captured the Har HaBayis and were poised to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, I would assume this is the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. And they were concerned, they were afraid to go in initially. Omri yikoneis mehem ubahem tchila. Let one of the Jews go in first. Amrin le ul. They said to this Yosef Mashisa, who wasn't a renegade. He was someone who had left the fold, someone who had gone over to the Roman side. Ul madat mufik ditcha. And what you take out will be yours. Go inside, see any vessel that you choose. If you come out alive, you can have whatever you've chosen. Nechas lahotzi menorah shel zahav. He came out with the menorah shel zahav. Which menorah? The menorah. One of the menorahs. Amrulu. Ein darko shel hedyot lishtamish bezo. This is a bit much. I mean, this is a really classic thing you've taken out over here. That really deserves to go to the milk. You can't take that. But you know what? Go ahead and take something else for yourself. Now that their fears had been allayed, he came in, he went in, he came out, he's alive, he went to a cocktail of the menorah. They're all poised to enter, and they said, listen, Yosef, Bubs, go ahead and take something else for yourself, right? And this, what you took out, that'll go to the king. But don't worry, you can have whatever you want. V'lo kibel alof. Right? He wouldn't go back in. Omer Pinchas, Nasnul Meches Gimel Shani. You will be in charge of all the taxes collected in the Holy Land for the Romans. You'll receive whatever percentage it was. You'll be a wealthy man. Wealthy, wealthy man. For 3 years. Go ahead and just take whatever you want. Lo kibel. He wouldn't do it. Amalal. Ama lo dai shechasti elokai pam achas. El shachisenu pam shniya. Look at the transformation. This person was a renegade. This person was someone that the Romans could count on, would go in, defile the mikdash, take something out, and yet he went in and he was transformed. And he said, is it not enough that I have vexed my creator, my king, once? I should do it again. And they tried to cajole him into going in a second time, which seems sort of silly. Take whatever you want, we'll make you a wealthy man, just go in. No, I vexed my creator once, I will not vex him again. Go in. I vexed my creator once, I will not vex him again. And they took him. They put him upon a sawhorse. And they sawed him in half. And Yosef Meshisa said, as they tortured him to death, they cut him in half with a saw. And all he could say was, woe to me that I had vexed my creator. What transformed him? How did he go from being the sort of person they could count on to go in and take whatever he wanted to a person who'd be willing to die a misa mashun, to die such a horrible death and not go back into the mikdash again? Let's examine the mikdash. Mikdash, first, milamal lamata, from the heaven downward. Says the Ramban, Sefer Shmos, v'sod ha-mishkan hu, the fundamental, the foundation upon the entire concept upon which the Mishkan stands, sheyeh ha-kovod asher shochan, al har Sinai, shochin olov benister, that the glory that was experienced at the revelation at Sinai should continue on in a more subtle fashion through the Mishkan. Voshneamar sham vayishkan kvod Hashem al har Sinai uchsiv hein hereanu Hashem elokinu es kvodo ve'ez godlo v'chein kosu v'mishkan uchvod Hashem malei es ha-mishkan. The glory of Sinai was meant to fill the Mishkan. The Mishkan was meant to be a movable Har Sinai, and for that matter, not just the Mishkan, the Mikdash, we stackle Yosef B'Ksuvim and Hanemorim B'Matan Torah, Mevin Mashakosavnu Bahem Yavin Sod HaMishkan Ubeis HaMikdash. In other words, the entire concept of the Mishkan, of the Mikdash, is to replicate the Sinaitic experience, replicate the revelation. What was the crux? What was the issue? I mean, that's true, we received the Ten Commandments, etc. But what was the issue, the main transformation that took place with regard to the Jewish people at the time of Matan Torah? That the Pasuk tells us in Sefer Shmos, V'chol ha'am roim es ha'kolos ves ha'lapidim ves kol ha'shofar ves ha'har ha'shein v'yar ha'am v'yanu v'yamdu merachok. Says the Pasuk, V'chol ha'am roim es ha'kolos. They saw the sounds. You don't really see sounds, right? If you do, then it's a sign of something very interesting, to see sound. It says in Nefesh HaChaim, he brings the Medrash. Apizem Amaramzal Zah Kosuf. She will show me Mesanire Beroim Eshanishma. The experience at Sinai, the revelation at Sinai, was accompanied with a transformation of the way that the Jewish people related to this world. They saw that which they ordinarily heard, and they heard that which they ordinarily saw. We know for ourselves. If you show us Olam Hazeh, we see it. Olam Hazeh you relate to. It could be an expensive this, a beautiful that, an enjoyable that, next thing. We see it. It fills our eyes, right? Unfortunately, most of the time, our heads and our hearts as well. We devour it. We see it. If you tell us into our Torah, I hear it. I hear the idea. I hear you, baby. I hear it. I hear the idea. I hear the idea. I don't see it. I don't taste it. I don't experience it. I hear it. I hear it. It's a really great idea. Will it remain with us? So that depends on the person's attitude. If he's pretty casual about it, so just like he heard it, maybe I heard it. So it'll go in one ear, rattle around in the catacombs of his brain like a desiccated pea, and come out the other side. Because all he did was hear it. Seeing is believing. Olam Hazeh, you see. The Olam HaEmes, you hear. I hear it. I hear it. But at Sinai, Shomim es hanireh veroim es hanishma. The tables were turned. The Olam HaEmes, they saw. That was clear. This is reality. This is really reality. The world of truth, the world of Ruchniyat, the world of connection to the Borei Olam, the world of Torah. That was clear. Olam Hazeh, I hear it. Yeah, it's necessary also. Yeah, you listen, in order to be ambulatory, in order for a soul to be ambulatory in a physical world, he needs to be able to maintain that physical body. So therefore, Olam Hazeh is necessary in a sort of backhanded fashion. It is necessary, it's necessary. But the crux of the issue, the fulcrum upon which reality rests upon, the central point upon which everything revolves is Ruchnias. Roim es hanishma. The Shomi Mesanira. That is the experience. So when the Ramban teaches us that the purpose of the Mishkan and the Mikdash was to replicate Sinai, it doesn't mean necessarily that they had an audio-visual program going on of Moshe Rabbeinu going up to the mountain, bringing down the Shnei Luchos HaBris, etc. Be it the first set, the second set, whatever it happens to be. No. What the experience of Sinai, the hub of the issue of Sinai, was Royim es Hanishma v'Shomim es Hanira, the clarity, the unbelievable searing clarity of Maimed Har Sinai, where the world of Ruchnias became the auxiliary aspect of their lives, and the world of Gashmias became secondary, became ancillary. Not that you could do away with it altogether, because a Jewish soul doesn't need a Jewish body, but it's a davar nispach. It's an addendum. So now, this is one aspect of the Mikdash. The aspect associated primarily, says Ramban, with the Aron. In other words, the Aron, just as the Torah descended from upon high, Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu brought it down, Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mi-Sinai. But same token also, the Aron was meant to be, as we even see in the Mishkan, Kilu, the Dibur of Hashem came down to between the Shnei Kruvim, and from there it passed onward and outward to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Kal Yisrael, etc. That's one aspect of the Mishkan, the Mikdash and the Mishkan. Milamala, from above, down below, continuing the Sinaitic experience. There's another aspect to the Mikdash Mishkan as well, and that's encapsulated in the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, what they translate in English is the altar. Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is really at first glance, it's a misnomer. It's a misnomer. The Mizbeach, Zvicha is Shchita. It's a shecht, it's a slaughter. And it's true, korbanos were slaughtered. not everything that was brought on the Mizbeach was slaughtered, but certainly that's the main purpose was for the animals that were slaughtered and their blood and parts of the animal, depending on what type of korban it was burnt upon the Mizbeach. But the word Mizbeach is really, as I said, a misnomer, because the Mizbeach wasn't a place of shechita. You didn't shecht on the Mizbeach, albeit if you did shecht, it was kosher. It was a kosher shechita. And depending on which side of the Mizbeach it was, the northern side, the southern side, etc., but it was kosher. Again, depending on the type of korban that it was kosher. But it certainly wasn't a place where nearly one shecht. There were nearly shecht on the floor of the Azara, of the courtyard there. And then afterwards, the Mizbeach was necessary, not for the Shechita. I mean, like I said, you could do it there, but it wasn't necessary for the Shechita. What the Mizbeach was necessary for was the burning of the Korbanos, or the sprinkling of the blood. So really, the Mizbeach should be called not a Mizbeach, but rather a Mikter, a place of the burning of the sacrifice, or a Mizraka, a place where the blood of the sacrifices was daubed, or poured, or sprinkled, etc. Why Mizbeach? Why Mizbeach? So, Svarim say, I heard it in the name of Saint Rabbeinu and Apeshitz. I haven't been able to find it, but I know I heard it. His name, the reason it's called Mizbeach was because there was one korban that was meant to be shechted on the Mizbeach. And that korban was Yitzchak. Kach nes binko es yechitchas asher havta es Yitzchak v'lech lecha el eretz amoria v'aleo sham la'ola chada arim asher amari lecha v'aleo sham la'ola. Yitzchak was put onto the Mizbeach. So the only korban that was meant to be shechted upon the Mizbeach was Yitzchak. And that's why it's called Mizbeach. It's a place of Zvicha. Why? Because on this Mizbeach rises up in holy fire. On this Mizbeach rises up in holy fire the world of the Domim, the world of the inert, the mineral kingdom, in the form of salt, on all the Korbanos, in the form of the Nisuch HaMayim, the water libation during Sukkos. The Tzomeach, the flowering kingdom, in the form of the meal offerings, in the form of the shemen, in the form of the yayin, for the nesachim, chai, the animal kingdom, the birds, the goats, the sheep, the oxen, and finally, who presides over it? The Adam, the Medaber, man. And man is meant as he causes all of the different kingdoms that exist within this world, the inert and the flowering and the animal king, to rise up in the holy fire as a declaration stating, this is all yours, Rabbon Shalom. The world is yours. The world is yours. We recognize that you are the creator and the world is yours. And I, man, preside over it. And really, I should step into the fire, but you don't want me to do that. But it should be as though I stepped into the fire as the life force of these parts of the world's kingdom, especially the animal kingdom, but all parts as they rise up in the holy fire. It's all yours. I should step into the fire. But symbolically, I will only symbolically will I do that as I offer the korban. This is the Mizbeach. A place of Zvicha, and the only korban that was meant to be shechted on Mizbeach was man, was Yitzchak Avinu. So we have in front of us a picture of the Mikdash, a very, very broad strokes picture, where on the one hand we have the continuation of Maimon Har Sinai, the descent of connection from Hashem's abode upon high as he brings his holy presence down unto earth via the Aron HaKodesh between the two Kruvim, just as at Har Sinai the Torah came down to this earth, the word of Hashem came down to this earth. And on the other hand, there's another aspect to the Beis HaMikdash, which is the world of the Mizbeach, which is meant to set our sights correctly in terms of how we relate to the world. It's true that we have to accept Hashem's will as it descends, but how do we look at this world? How do we define this world so that we can properly accept that which Hashem sends down to us from upon high? That attitude, that formulation of worldview, of Weltanschauung, is defined through the Mizbeach, the place of Shechita, the place where only one Shechita was meant to take place. Yitzchak Avinu, man, I am yours, Hashem, and the world is yours as it rises up in holy fire. Every day, three times a day, when we daven, we relate to the idea that we are missing something fundamental in our life by not having the Beis HaMikdash. Not just in the Bracha of Tekav HaShofar Godol HaChirusenu, and not just in the Bracha of Yishai Mircha Barachim Toshuv, and not just in the Bracha of Eszemach David Avdecha Miros HaTzmiach, and not just in the Bracha of Ritzei Sechazen Ha'inim Shulchot Tzim Barachamim. But there's something, there's a Bracha that we say every day, the way Rav Avram Ben Agro explains the Bracha, that speaks to the crux of the issue. We say in the Bracha, Ashiveinu Avinu L'Sor HaSecha, in the intermediate Brachas of Shmon Esrei, Atachonin L'Odom Da'as Omeid L'Nosh Bina. The next Bracha is Ashiveinu Avinu L'Sor HaSecha. And Rav Avram Ben Agro relates to the change of the Nusach, the change of the formulation of this Bracha. It says, the Bracha states for us, Ashiveinu Avinu L'Sor HaSecha, return us, O Father, to your Torah, the Karvenu Malkeinu Levurasecha, and our King, please bring us close to your service, V'achzirvenu B'Teshuva Shleima L'Fanecha, and return us in a state of Teshuva Shleima before you. I don't want to get lost in the entire Bracha, though it's fascinating. You'll see the Avnei Eliyahu here, and perhaps one day we'll go through the Shemoneh Esrei, bring that together, and you get a fuller appreciation of the entire Bracha. Rav Ben Agro says that the three topics, Avinu L'Sor HaSecha, and Kavinu Malkeinu L'Vodasecha, and Hachzirinu B'Teshuva Shleima L'Fanecha, are a beseeching on our part to repair the three pillars upon which the world stands, Torah, Avod, and Nes Chasodim. It's a discussion. Let's just deal, though, with the first two right now. Why does it say Hashivinu Avinu L'Sor HaSecha? Turn us around, our Father, to your Torah, the Karvinu Malkeinu L'Vod HaSecha, and bring us close, our King, to your service. Says Rav Avram Ben Agro, with regard to the Torah is always there. Unfortunately, we're not always facing the Torah. Sometimes we're facing away from the Torah. Right? Just ask Magellan. If you're facing away from where you need to be, you're not going to reach if you go off in the direction. Instead of turning around to what's immediately behind you, if you go off in the opposite direction, you'll eventually get to where you belong, but it'll take you 24,000 miles as you circuit the entire earth. Turn us around. Hashivinu Avinu L'Sor HaSecha, says Rav Ben Agro. Turn us around. The Torah is right next to us. It's close. It's available to us. Anybody, the Torah is the Keren Zavis Munachas. The Torah is always there. The Torah is there. Just turn around and face it. Embrace it. But with regard to the world of Avodah, the Karvenu Malkeinu L'Sor HaSecha, bring us close to your Avodah, because we are distant from the Avodah. Because without the Mikdash, we're missing that incredible experience, place, event that had this transformational impact upon us. The sort of impact that allowed Yosef Mashisa to be sawed in half, to, as it were, subject himself to the worst torture, but not to vex his creator again. He went into the Mikdash, he experienced something there. We are missing that. We're missing that clarity. We are missing that clarity. How would our lives be different if we had that sort of clarity? The sort of clarity that enabled Yosef Mashisa to die a torturous death. I'm not saying you have to experience a torturous death. But the clarity that he experienced enabled him to undergo that. He went from apostate to tzaddik by entering the Mikdash. We are missing that. Karveinu malkeinu v'rasecha Hashem. We are distant from it. We are distant from that experience. Bring us close, we beg of you. We beg of you. Even before we have a Mikdash, give us a taste of it. It's a quantum leap away from us. Oy. The fact is, this is the Meshech Chacham I was referring to before. The fact is that every day when we daven, we aspire to taste something of this. How so? The Gemara in Brachas tells us that when a person davens, he always faces towards Yerushalayim. And with Yerushalayim, he faces towards the Beis HaMikdash. And when he's in the Beis HaMikdash, he faces towards the Kodesh Kodoshim. And, says the Meshech Chochma, "Mine inyan HaMikdash hu la'ached klolios Yisrael ulevaveihen el makom echad." An unbelievable thing. As we're all mechaven to one place, it comes that all the hearts of the Jewish people are focused to one place. Says the Meshech Chochma, the purpose of this is to experience that all the hearts of the Jewish people are focused towards one place, and all our hearts unite in that one place. All the hearts of the Jewish people to the Kodesh Kodoshim. Or using the terminology of Rabbeinu Yonah, the Yireh Belibo Ki'ilo Ha'omid Bifnim Im Yisrael, a person should see himself in the Kodesh Kodoshim, between the two Badim, in front of the Aron HaKodesh, before the Kruvim, standing there with all of Klal Yisrael, because we're all part of the job. This is an aside, but it's not really an aside. Part of this vision of the Mikdash, is a vision of the Mikdash of where all the Jewish people unite, because it's incumbent upon all of us, each one with our glitches, each one with our strengths. Not everybody has to be everybody else's cup of tea, but the fact is that if we are not all of us doing our job, and the jobs may be different types of jobs. Some people have strengths in one area and handicaps in another, and so too every individual. The strengths he's meant to foster, the handicaps he's meant to struggle with and try to overcome. And each person has a different set of these variables in his life. And that is how the Torah is fulfilled in the world. And that is how the Jewish people all need each other, because we're all in this together. This, as the Sforno says in Parshas Baloch, so he speaks about the idea of what it means when Klal Yisrael said, Naaseh, not Naaseh, but Nishma, Naaseh, Naaseh. He says it means that the Jewish people declare that between all of us, because we're all different, just as our faces are not the same, so too our worldview, our affect, our emotions, our minds are not the same. Each one's got a different part of a picture. So says the Meshech Chochma, L'chin tamid haisa sham hanhaga hanisis Moshe Manu, Sar Nisim, Shanasa, Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was frequented by 10 Nisim. The Mishnah always talks about. Why? Because when all the Jewish souls fuse together, even if every individual amongst us is not worthy for the highest level of Hashkacha Pratis, of Divine Providence, because we're not necessarily all living on that level, etc. Well, many of us are. Later, that's a discussion. That's for each person to either know or not to know. But the fact is, but as a whole, as a unit, we're subject to the concept of incredibly intense Hashkacha Pratis, fine-tuned. So therefore, as all our hearts fuse together in the Kodesh Kodashim, before the Aron HaKodesh, between the two bodies, all of the Jewish hearts, they are subject to this incredible Hashgacha Pratis, which is ignited by the Tefillos of Klal Yisrael. So even if we view ourselves as chopped liver, as an individual, but since we're Tefillos are all focused to that one place, and all the Tefillos of all the Jewish people, each one with their strengths, each one with their greatnesses, each one with their weaknesses, each one with their glitches, each one with their handicaps, each one's with their areas of expertise or superiority or excellence, etc., fusing together, we will become subject now to an incredible level of rarefied divine providence, Hashgacha Pratis, as a unit. Laharos, after kol prati b'fnei atzmo eno roi lios mushkach b'pirte b'prati b'anhaga pratis. Even though the highest level Hashgacha Pratis is not necessarily appropriate for any given individual, bilti tivis beyond the world of the natural Hashgacha v'Hashem, b'chol zos hakesher akloli am Yisrael roi hu lios mushkach b'Hashgacha nisis. The Jewish people as a whole are worthy of it. So I, as I daven, I'm joining all the rest of the Jewish people. If I'm thinking about this, I'm joining all the rest of the Jewish people as we pray before the Rabbonu Shalom. And therefore, I get a piece of the Hashgacha Nisis, of the incredible level of divine specific providence for me. Shasham ein pgam. There is no deficiency, there is no blemish. Shekulam ma'alim reach nichoach, because together we give a fragrance. That's what the Ketores is brought, right, which binds together all the Jewish people. It's brought within the Beis Hamikdash of Lai v'Lefnim. Shekulam ma'alim reach nichoach. We all give over the fragrance together. Zeb Yiraso, this person is an incredible Yerushamayim. Zeb Titkoso, this one does incredible mitzvahs. Zeb Ahavas Lisrael, this one loves the Jewish people. Zeb Masas Yadu, this is with his tzedakah. Zeb Toraso, this one with his Torah. All blending together to form an incredibly exquisite and complex tapestry. The Aron, where the divine word descends and continues to descend. The Mizbeach, where we declare, right, it's all yours, Rabbon Shalom. We're far away from that system. We ask, Karvinu Malkinu Vurasecha. But in our very active tefillah, we try to connect to this concept because we daven, we have kavana that we're standing in the Kodesh Kodoshim with all the rest of the Jewish people. And that's such a fundamental part of the experience, to know that you're together with all the Jewish souls who are davening, each one, right, yearning, each one with his strengths, each one with his weaknesses. Some who may not be our cup of tea, but they have a purpose also. Just as we have a purpose with our strengths, with our glitches, etc. We struggle to taste of the Karvena Malkinu Vodasech. We struggle in every act of tefillah. We're still distant. Karvena Malkinu Vodasech. When the Beis HaMikdash stood, so after the korbanos were burnt, the ashes were gathered together in what was a tapuach, a round mound, upon the Mizbeach. It's called a tapuach, like an apple. Ha'be'emtza Mizbeach. And the Mishnayos and Talmid say that some of the spectacular mounts there. And it was considered the noy, the beauty of the Mizbeach. All of this, as it were, was indicative, was symbolic, was a real reminder of the service of Jewish people declaring in Bor Shalom, we are yours, the world is yours. We are your creations. That was when the Beis HaMikdash stood. That same Beis HaMikdash, there was a tzur to the Beis HaMikdash. Aside from the structure of the Mikdash itself, block upon block upon block, all square, but walking up to the base. I think this was a kevesh, was a ram. And Rashi tells us, on the Pasuk, V'osal v'malos al mizbechi asher lo segal ervoscha alav, the reason why there was a ramp and not stairs was because when a person walks up on stairs, he spreads his legs apart. And even though the Kohen had to be wearing mechnasayim, he had to be wearing undergarments, because it's a chiyuv, part of the Big Day Kahuna. But the mere fact, right, that he spreads his legs apart shows a little bit of lack of kavod. Of kavod, even though his nakedness is completely covered. But it's a very fine point, a very sensitive point. And therefore, says Rashi, that's why the Mizbech did not have stairs going up to it. Instead, it had a ramp. So you could walk heel to toe. Didn't have to make a separation between the legs. And you'd think, well, what does this mean? Like, one has to show the incredible tznius, fear, standing before the Creator, about to offer a korban upon the Mizbech. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the lesson is over here, even as we're engaged in an act which is totally bein adam lamakom, it addresses the aspect of bein olam chaver. We're meant to learn from here that if you are meant to be sensitive, as it were, to the stones, that you shouldn't show a sense of disregard or a sense of disrespect, a sense of conduct yourself in a shameful fashion vis-a-vis stones, then certainly the stones, if they have no feeling and you're commanded to make sure to be sensitive to the issue, then certainly with regard to your friend, to your fellow, to your neighbor, etc., you must not treat him in a way that might cause him pain. The fusion between Bein Adam Lamakom, Bein Adam Chaveru, the fusion between Hashem bringing His Torah down to us, or down to us here upon the earth through the Aron and the Kruvim, the fusion of the Mizbeach, of the declaration that we and all of the world are yours, Ribbono Shelom, rising up in holy fire before you. This was the Beis HaMikdash. As much as we try, and like I said before, in the name of the Gemara and Brachos, and the way the Meshechach explained it, we try to reclaim the experiences by all davening towards one place. But nonetheless, the Bracha says, Karveinu Malkeinu V'Rasecha, we are distant from this experience, we are missing it. Oh, if we only had this clarity, how our lives would be different, how our internal lives would be different, how our lives with one another would be different, how our relationship with the Creator would be different. Or Ribbono Shel Olam, V'karveinu Malkeinu V'Rasecha. With the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so the Gra says, this day is brought in the Sefer Emunah V'Hashgacha, the Talmidim. Just as when a person dies, there's a disintegration of the body, so too also, with the destruction of the Mikdash, the Jewish people were carried to Chutzlarts. Chutzlarts is like the graveyard, like the Beis Olam, and the outskirts of the city. Yitzila Chutzlarts to a kever, it is the grave, Rima Misoveves Aleinu, and the rot and the maggots surround us, the nations of the world. They physically try to consume us, they spiritually try to destroy us. Achinirkvu Gamat Samos will nishrael tarvad vitanu vanasa. Ofar. There's nothing left of us. Shachol ofar nafshenu v'anachnu v'kavim a'ata l'tchiyas ha-meisim. V'shakos v'isnarim ha-fakumi v'yar ha-ruach v'moram aleinu. We wait. We have left the world of the Mikdash. We've left the world of Hashras Hashchina at the highest levels, going to Golos. It's the Zohar in the grave. There is a unique piece of hell on earth in Poland that's called Majdanek. And Majdanek was a concentration camp. Many Jews were killed there. It's one of the more intact camps because the Russians overran it so quickly there was not enough time for them to destroy everything like they did in other places. Everything was totally dismantled, places like Belzec and Sobibor and Treblinka. Even Auschwitz is not, it doesn't look, they blew up the crematorium. But in Majdanek, everything is intact. And in Majdanek, they built a memorial there. It wasn't by anybody Jewish. The Poles built it. But it's eerily significant, even while at the same time it might be highly inappropriate. Enter the camp, and there's all sorts of barracks, and I don't want to get into all the details, gas chambers, etc. And at the end, the far side of the camp, there's a round dome. And you walk up steep steps to this round dome. And underneath this round dome is a pile of ashes of a king of Bnei Yisrael. It is the incredible contrast between the tapuach of the days of our closeness to Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash, the days of clarity, the days of where all of the vibrations and the experiences of the Mikdash were rich, 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 rich in our senses. And the noise of the Mizbeach, the beauty of the Mizbeach, was the ashes of all the korbanos upon the Mizbeach, the Tapuach. That same Mizbeach that one walked up to it upon a kevesh, not upon stairs, so as not to even imply that there's any sort of disregard for stones and certainly not for other people's feelings. And here in this place of hell in Poland, in Majdanek, you walk up steep steps until you come to a tapuach, but not the tapuach of the korbanos upon the Mizbeach in Yerushalayim, but rather the korbanos of Klal Yisrael. Karveinu Malkeinu Avodasecha. Karveinu Malkeinu Avodasecha. What wouldn't we give? What shouldn't we want to give to return to that level of closeness where we had a noy of the tapuach of the korbanos, the ashes of the korbanos upon the Mizbeach, and not a place like Majdanek, and not tragedies that have visited the Jewish people the last year, the last months, the last weeks. The pile of ashes, and Rachmanis, not the pile of bodies. We're missing it. We forget it. We forget it. And when we forget it, we become smaller people. We get preoccupied with things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Tainas upon people, insensitivities in terms of Avodas Hashem, all sorts of things. We get focused on the wrong things. If we had the Mikdash again, that clarity would be with us. Our focus would be clearer. Karveinu Malkeinu Vodasecha. I read recently a story about Elchanan Wasserman. Zechus Harakle Baruch Hashem Yikom Domo. He came to the United States to collect money for the Yeshiva in Baranovich. He was here for a long time in America. They actually beseeched him not to return because the winds of war were blowing very strongly. He says, I'm a soldier. A soldier belongs to the front. He went back, and as we all know, he died. Al Kiddush Hashem. He was murdered in Kovna by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, Nazis, Lithuanians. All the same garbage. And when he was in the United States collecting money, he found out about a person that he had known from Cheder days who had come to the United States and become extremely wealthy. He was in the garment industry, as were many Jews. Unfortunately, this person was shun of a peerage. He had learned and he'd gone off and was no longer observant. And Rav Chanan came to visit him in his factory, this wealthy owner of this garment industry factory. And they talked about the old days. And the fellow there, of course, is waiting for Rav Chanan to spring the question on the request, you know, can you give a donation for the yeshiva? And Rav Chanan is not asking him. Finally, the person is, he just, you know, I was going to say, he says, of course, you came here for something, right? Rav Wasserman, you came here for something. And Rav Wasserman said, yes, yes, I did, you're right. I have a loose button on my jacket. You have a factory here, garment industry, perhaps one of your workers could sew it on for me. The man looked at him, dumbfounded, shocked beyond words. He says, oh, of course. He calls in one of the works and says, please sew on the rabbi's button. As he sews it on, and Rav Chanan gets up to leave. And he says, don't you want to ask me for something? You didn't just come here to have me sew on a button, did you? He says, of course I did. I came in to sew on the button. Did you sew on the button? Be well, have a good day. And he walked out the door. The man was beside himself. What's going on here? Can't be. It can't be. Next day, he calls up Rav Chanan. He says, please, please, come back to the factory. I want to speak with you again. Rav Chanan says, certainly. Comes back. And as soon as Rav Chanan comes in, he says, you can't tell me that you took a boat across the ocean, crossed the continent of Europe and crossed the ocean. You came from Baranovich here to America. They could sew buttons for you in Baranovich. You didn't have to come to America. Why are you telling me that the only reason you came to see me is to have a button sewed on? It can't be. It makes no sense. It's insane. What did you come here for? Rav Chanan says, for you to sew on the button. He says, it can't be. And says, let me explain myself. You say that it's preposterous, that it's insane, that I should have come all the way from Europe here to New York so that you should sew on a button for me. You think it's preposterous. And I say to you, you came to this world from a much more distant place than I came from in order to arrive in America. Your soul was from Tachas Kisei HaKovod. Do you think that Hashem brought your soul all the way down from Kisei HaKovod down to this world just to sew on buttons? That clarity that Rav Chanan had, that's the clarity that we lose. We think that we're brought here to sew on buttons. We get caught up in small things. And to be honest, we get caught up sometimes in even big things. because I'm not so foolish as to think that people are preoccupied only by small things. Sometimes they're preoccupied by very weighty things. But the ability to be able to see beyond the cloud of this world, that clarity of what life is about and what it's for and why we came down here and what we're hoping and aspiring to accomplish, that vision was clear to him, but unfortunately not always so clear to us. If we had the Beis HaMikdash, then for him it would have been even clearer. And for us, we'd have stepped out of the darkness into the light. Karveinu Malkeinu Vodasecha. We need the Mikdash desperately in all of its aspects. With the Aron, with the Mizbeach, with the ramp and not the stairs to the Mizbeach. With the Jewish people unified, standing before the Aron HaBris in the Kodesh Kadoshim. We need that clarity desperately. We need to yearn for the Mikdash. Hatzlacha. We should hear good news. We should see Binyan Yerushalayim, B'mehera B'yameinu, and see the Beis HaMikdash Altila once again, so that we can look at the world through pure eyes, through a pure lens. Amen. Ken Yerotzon.